You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Carrie Doyle. Carrie is the interim director of the Rubin Center here on campus, and she's here to talk about an upcoming event, which will be on the 13th of December. But before we talk about that, we'd like to welcome Carrie to the show. Thank you for being with us here, Carrie.
Thank you for having me, Louis.
Now, as I mentioned, the Rubin Center, people have heard of it. They see the sign, but they're not really sure what the center is. Can you brief us on the Rubin Center?
Absolutely. I'm happy to. The Rubin Center for the Visual Arts is an arts center. So we have three galleries in the space where we're showing exhibitions of contemporary art that either have a border focus, that are site-specific installations by artists coming around the country and around the world. And we also focus on artists that deal with contemporary craft. But at the same time, we have a really wide body of interdisciplinary programming at the Rubin Center. So we're really interested in using the art as a jumping off point for conversations about all kinds of contemporary life, contemporary literature, poetry, and in this case, social and political issues.
And because I guess in the past, a lot of people assumed that it was an art museum or perhaps just a display of different pictures. But as you just mentioned, it's a variety of things, and it showcases, like in this upcoming one that we're going to talk about shortly on the 13th of December, it's a collaboration of a bunch of departments.
That's right. We have departments from all over campus that have been involved in the Rubin Center in a lot of different ways. And one of the core facets of our mission is adventuresome thinking and dialogue. And so contemporary art becomes sets the setting, begins to open the door for a discussion of issues that affect us in all different ways. This particular book presentation, Narco Estado, was organized by the departments of Sociology, Anthropology, the Department of Communications, and the Rubin Center. The Rubin Center will be hosting two different photo exhibitions coming up this January, opening January 23rd. Guy Tillam, who's a South African photographer, will be showcasing photos of architecture in Africa from the modernist period and talking about how that architecture was a point of hope and dreams for the future and how that architecture reads now 50, 60 years later. And at the same time, we'll be featuring work by a local photographer, Julian Cardona, who is from Juarez and who has been taking photographs of Juarez for the past 20 years. His work has been shown around the world, but it's the first local solo exhibition. So this book presentation fits in really nicely with the exhibitions, but Teun Votan will be speaking about taking pictures in zones of conflict around the world. The book is Narco Estado. It has to do with drug violence in Mexico, but his own history has taken him to Rwanda, to Bosnia, to zones of conflict around the planet, and he'll be talking about how it is that he began making images in zones of conflict and the challenges that he faces doing that.
Obviously, you know, you or I haven't been there, so we don't know what the deal is. Dennis, our producer, and I have worked in television news before, so sometimes we got ourselves into sort of conflicts. But when you go in there and you realize that something may happen, as in this gentleman's career, it's got to be, you know, something you really love to do, but at the same time, you have to have a compassion, empathy for these people, because you know that some of these people are living in fear day to day.
And it's an interesting position to be in, to be taking images of people suffering or going through frightening and even life-threatening situations. And so I think that's one of the fascinating things, is to be able to hear about these practitioners. We see the images, we see them in the news, or perhaps we see them on a gallery wall, but to be able to hear about what's going through the mind of the photographer as he or she takes those images and how it is that they negotiate things, like whether you jump in to help somebody or you take the picture, or how it is you debrief and kind of deal with your own emotions after you're in a situation like that. So I'll be interested to hear that first-person perspective on the issue as well.
And, you know, that's a journalism ethic. You know, what are your ethics? Are you going to get that story first? Are you going to save that person, or you take the picture, whatever? And personally, I think it's up to the individual. I mean, myself, I think I would try and help that person but of course, I was a reporter, not somebody who takes the picture. This happens in an instant, and you have to do. You have to be there. One of the experts on the cartels and stuff like that is our own Dr. Howard Campbell,
right.
And I understand he's going to be available as well.
He is. Howard actually wrote an introduction to the book by Teun Botan. And Howard, you know, as you know, is a specialty in the drug war. The topic, you know, bringing someone in like this photographer allows our students to wrestle with the topic from all different perspectives. So Howard comes from the perspective of anthropology, and he's been studying really the people and the relationships that are involved in this drug war. And then, as you say, when you have communication students there listening to what is the role of a journalist in the situation, it allows them to really begin to think about and wrestle with the ethics of their future profession and how it is they're going to participate. Having WADAs so close, we've all had to wrestle with the mediated images of conflict in WADAs and trying to understand how we get a story from those images. And I think, you know, a photojournalist has a very powerful but also very difficult role to play in those conflicts. How do you frame this story, and how do you frame it in a way that makes a difference and help people know what's really going on without sensationalizing it? And they're tricky questions, and they're great questions for students to be exposed to early on.
And, you know, it's interesting. Thanksgiving Day this year fell on the 49th anniversary of the assassination of President John Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And when you look at documentaries, watch documentaries, read books, there was not one single professional photographer, photojournalist, mm-hmm. who got a picture of the assassination, got a picture of what happened, except for the tailor, clothes manufacturer, Abraham Zapruder, who mm-hmm. it took, I think, 12 years before his famous 30-some-odd seconds were on TV. And so, again, this gentleman who's going to be speaking is going to let people know that it's not just about going into the conflict area, but mm-hmm. being at the right place at the wrong time, because they're not going to say at exactly 2:05 this is going to happen, mm-hmm. and then 2:30 this is going to happen.
Exactly. So you're constantly putting yourselves in situations where something may happen, may not happen. You have to be alert. You have to be ready to move. You have to be ready to understand what is the image of the moment, and that's part of their career and their decision making.
Now, this book, Narco Estado, mm-hmm. that you're talking about, is that a book that is going to be available for sale that evening, or is this a book that you are taking photographs from to display at the gallery?
No, this is actually not directly related to an exhibition at the gallery. The book will be available for sale by the author, and it is available, as I understand, online as well. This is a supporting program for some exhibitions that we have coming up in January. So, again, one of the exhibitions that I'm really interested in the connection here is Julian Cardona will be exhibiting his photos in the project space. Julian has a 30-year career as a photojournalist in WADAs, and his photos have been used to illustrate books by well-known authors like Charles Bowden. He's looked at the effect of the maquiladoras on WADAs, migration, and then he's been very involved in photojournalism related to the current violence. The photos that we're going to show of Julian's work is Julian documenting the Calle Mariscal, which is right in downtown Juarez, the year before it was bulldozed by the city. And it's complemented by interviews that he's done with people that used to work and visit the Calle Mariscal. So it's also a way of documenting a tragedy, a specific moment in time. And so having this kind of conversation with Teun, who also worked in Mexico but who's worked around the world, gets us into thinking about the role of photography in documenting our world. And that's something that the Rubin Center is going to be focusing on in exhibitions coming up in January. So.
It's interesting as you bring up Calle Mariscal, because that is what is known as the red light district.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the documentaries, mm-hmm. and now I'm trying to say it like the Brits. it was a BBC documentary mm-hmm. that where they show Tijuana and they have a group singing and they're saying, "Welcome to Tijuana, sexo, tragos y marihuana."
Uh-huh.
And everybody is they're just standing around and the narrator, of course, is talking about the fact that this is where Americans used to come for cheap thrills.
Mm.
However, traffic into Juarez has slowed down dramatically, and you see a lot of the people coming over here now. This gentleman who is going to focus on some of the pictures of Mariscal, are these pictures that have been taken over like the last 10, 20 years? Or?
No. Actually, Julian, when the city of Juarez decided to bulldoze, to kind of completely knock down the Calle Mariscal as a way of cleaning up the downtown area, Julian had a relationship with the Calle Mariscal, like a lot of people, as you mentioned, from both sides of the borders had for many years. And he was interested in actually documenting the architecture of the street as a way of telling part of the history of Juarez. And part of that history has been a relationship of, you know, United States citizens coming over and visiting the red light district. But then also that district was a place where other people came, you know, at the end of a hard day's work, where people met their partners, where, you know, prostitutes work, but where they had long relationships and long careers over a period of time, women who danced on that street, bartenders. He was interested in documenting that, and then he went back to interview people after the street was knocked down to find out what it meant to them and what it meant now that it was gone. And it's a way of telling another part of the history of Juarez.
So he's going to address those stories now? In fact,
the stories
how their
will be part of
changed.
The exhibition as well. So the exhibition is comprised of, I think it's just over 20 photos, large-scale photos of the street, mostly building architectural photos, and then interviews that will be both piped into the gallery space as recorded interviews, and also snippets of those interviews will be on the wall as well. We're producing a catalog that'll have the full body of work of the interviews and some reflections by Julian.
Carrie, for people who haven't been to Rubens Center, I was at the Carrie Center, the Rubens Center. How many people does it accommodate for? Because I'm asking because if they want to go, they might want to get there early, or, you know, because this sounds like a fantastic presentation.
It's a super presentation, December 13th at 6 o'clock. We have a 120-seat auditorium, which tends to fill up. But I think, you know, if you arrive, you know, between 5:45 and 6 o'clock, you'll be fine. That night is also the liberal arts honors ceremony, so we're going to make a point of giving a little pause before 7 o'clock to allow people that want to attend that ceremony to go, even if the conversation continues on. But it'll be 6 o'clock on December 13th, and we look forward to having a diverse and a big audience.
If people are interested in attending or finding out more about the Rubens Center and some of the upcoming projects, what number can they call? And also, do you have a web page where you have coming up events?
You can call 747-6151, and you'll get our main number, and you can talk to one of our great student interns at that number. You can also visit us at rubenscenter.utep.edu. We also have a terrific Facebook page that's maintained by our student interns as well, and that's Facebook Stanley and Gerald Rubens Center. If you go to the Facebook and look for the Stanley and Gerald Rubens Center page, you'll find not just basic information, but also interviews and links to sites that relate to the presentations and exhibitions we have there.
Interesting, too. You know, you talked about the fact that people used to go to Mexico, obviously known as a red light district, but other things happened on Mariscal Street. But one of the things that it played a major role in United States history as well, because during the 1920s in Prohibition, law-abiding citizens from El Paso would go over there because they wanted to get a drink.
Yeah.
And I think in Ken Burns, he mentions that in his documentary.
And actually, that's part of Julian's telling of the story of Calle Mariscal, is this fabulous architecture that was built around that time when we had great jazz singers and performers from all around the United States coming to Juarez to play during Prohibition era in these clubs that were frequented by all sorts of people from all walks of life. And so there's a really rich history, an architectural history, and then also a human history on the Calle Mariscal. And we're excited to be able to explore that a little bit in the space.
And a lot of the movie stars who came over here for the quickie divorces.
That's right, including Marilyn Monroe, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah.
Well, we want to thank you very much, Carrie, for being with us here today. Our guest has been Carrie Doyle. She is the interim director of the Rubens Center. And coming up next Thursday at December 13th at 6 p.m., Narco Estado. And that is going to be a presentation that will be held at the Rubens Center. If you need additional information, you can call 747-6151. Then they also have a Facebook page if you want to check out some of the upcoming exhibits and some of the current events as well. Carrie, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.